In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, the Church gives us on this first Sunday of the Great Fast a special commemoration. Commemoration of the triumph of Holy Orthodoxy, which harkens back many centuries ago to the restoration of icons into the temples. Icons were stripped by the iconoclasts, in part because of theological misunderstanding, in part because of the influence and the threat of Islam, which didn't accept images of God or images in general, and in part because of a lack of witness among those who were true believers, although many were martyred and confessed. Those who had false understandings, those who were politically influenced, were able for a time to take, if you will, almost control in the church. They were able to dominate, and they caused much suffering upon the people of God. In the year 843, there was on this first Sunday of the Great Fast, a great procession in the city of Constantinople. A procession with holy icons, the images, and they were brought back into the temples. And on that day was instituted this commemoration that we have, the triumph of Orthodoxy, a triumph that shows us what it is to be in the image and the likeness of God. That is what Orthodoxy does for us. We see the image and the likeness of God in Jesus Christ perfectly, and then we see that image reflected in the saints by grace. And that is what the whole purpose of the church is all about, to restore us to that image and likeness from which we have fallen. And on this Sunday, we celebrate this great gift of the faith. I want to share with you three things that are necessary for every Orthodox Christian to triumph in the faith, to obtain this salvation, to be restored to this image and likeness. The first is humility. Last Sunday, when we commemorated the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise, we said that Adam and Eve sinned, but were not humble in their sin. They didn't own their sin. They blamed one another. And there was no repentance, and there was no forgiveness, no reconciliation. And that was the great fall, the falling away from God and from one another into corruption and death. And the new Adam, Christ himself, though he is sinless, he takes upon himself all of the sins of others, and he makes excuses for others. And he undoes what the first Adam had done. And we pattern ourselves in great Lent and always after Jesus Christ. When we began the Great Fast, we had a special service four times this past week in the evening, and I think almost all of you attended at least one of those services. They're so important to getting off to a good start in our Lenten journey. And it was in those services that we sought to take ownership of every sin committed from Adam and Eve down to the present day and age. We owned every single sin. We said in the canon, right in the very beginning, "For failing to observe just one of your commandments, O Savior, Adam was justly exiled from Eden. What then shall I suffer? For I am continually ignoring thy words of life." We made Adam's sin our sin. And we took upon ourselves a multitude of other types of sin. Just looking at the canon for Monday, which is just a portion of the whole great canon, we said that we've defiled our bed, that we've become lovers of money, pleasure seekers. We've been people who have been bound by animalistic cravings, wounded by demons, stubborn as mules, continually living in vanity in this pageant of life. We become also proud like the Pharisee. And a whole host of other rebukes that we made against ourselves so that we could be humbled. In past years, we spoke about the great canon and then compared it to dodgeball. Everybody knows the game of dodgeball. The object is not to get hit by the ball when it comes your way, right? You sidestep it. And of course, when we begin our Christian life and we come maybe for our first canon of St. Andrew, we feel like we've got to sidestep some of these things. It's just too much. How can I bear all of these sins? Try to get out of the way. Or even, perhaps worse, we try to catch one of these balls, one of these sins, and we say, well, this is really actually meant for that guy. And we throw it at him. And then maybe we strike them on the foot. And as soon as we do that, then the next one comes up about the pride of the Pharisee and judging others, and we get hit right in the head. In the canon, what we actually should be doing, if we're following the way of the new Adam, we should be diving in front of every ball so that nobody else gets it. Think about that. Coming to the canon and just diving up all over the place, trying to own every one of these accusations. And in fact, actually, that's what we do. If somebody were not familiar with Orthodox Christianity and they came to the church and they saw everybody falling on the ground all over the place, you think, what are they, diving? Diving down? That's actually what we're doing. Every single time we make our cross and we make that prostration, we are owning that sin. In fact, our vows, our prostrations help us to own those sins. Goal number one for this first characteristic of humility. In Great Lent, try to make it to Pascha without criticizing anyone, but instead criticizing yourself. Goal number one. And if we can't make it to Pascha, make it to Holy Week. Make it to the middle of the fast. Make it to the end of the day. Make it to when you leave the doors of the church and go home. Start now. Start with just a moment. Have no criticism for anyone. Expel it out of your mind, out of your heart, and have ownership for sins, because those who humble themselves will be lifted up. Those who own their sins will be forgiven. First characteristic, humility. The goal, do not criticize, but accept criticism. The second, very necessary thing to be an Orthodox Christian and to be saved is discipleship. We heard in the Gospel today the Lord's calling of the disciples to himself. It was the beginning of the church, the assembling of his followers. And on this day, in the triumph of Orthodoxy, we are privileged to be among them, among the disciples of the Lord. Some of you are familiar with the online surveys that ask you a number of questions to kind of see what your thoughts are, what your ideologies are, your opinions on things. Or maybe what your knowledge is of spirituality or religion. And you take these surveys, and then they tell you kind of where you would fit in based upon your response. And they might say, well, you're a Buddhist, you're a Muslim, or you're a Christian. And then some of them are geared really just for Christians. They might say, well, you're kind of more Roman Catholic, or you're more Pentecostal, Baptist, or you're even more Orthodox. And we sometimes take these surveys. Who's taken a survey like this? On Facebook, they're all over the place, right? Kind of very tempting to try it out. See where we are. And when we take it, sometimes we get, you know, a score that might surprise us. We might get a low score and say, well, you know, I'm really not lining up with Orthodoxy. Or we might get a really high score. We might get 88, 94%, or even 100%. Who's gotten 100% on one of those scores that say you're 100% Orthodox? No one? That's actually very good. Because that undermines discipleship. What are you talking about, Father John? How could that undermine discipleship? Well, we think about, what is discipleship? Is it where we come before the Lord and we see how much we agree upon? Is that discipleship? Or we say, all right, you know, the Lord has these commandments, and I kind of agree with 98% of them. I'm a pretty good disciple. I would say, actually, no, it's not. Discipleship, by its very definition, has to do with being taught. It has to do with learning. It has to do with acquiring something that we didn't have before. So if we were to come thinking that we're 100% Orthodox, we will actually not grow at all as disciples. Because all we're doing is saying, I'm just going to stay who I am, and it's good for me that Christ agrees with me. That works out nicely. But actually, the opportunity for discipleship is when we see where we don't agree, where we might disagree. That is where we can practice discipleship and obedience. Blessed Augustine of Hippo, he tells us. He says, if you believe what you like in the gospel, or in Christ, or in the church, and reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel, it's not Christ, it's not the church that you believe, but yourself. So discipleship is about changing our beliefs, conforming ourselves to the teaching, the commandments, sacraments, practices of the church, which communicate to us the life in Christ. And there's a remarkable thing that happens with discipleship, and we see it from the words in today's gospel, come and see. Very simple sentence, come and see. Two parts to that. The first is come. And what is come but a command or an invitation for obedience, for us to move from where we were to where the Lord wants us to be. And the second part is once we've done that, once we practice that obedience, once we made that movement, that change, then we get to behold something. And what do we get to behold? Christ within ourselves. We get to start to behold our own salvation, our own union with God. The second goal in discipleship, focus on the commandment that you least want to fulfill. Put it into practice, and you will rejoice to see the glory of God. Number three, the third characteristic that every Orthodox Christian has to have if we're to be saved. And that's a sense of community. No one does this alone. Not humility, not discipleship, not anything. We need one another. When the Lord called the disciples, he called them in plural, right? Multiple disciples. One wasn't enough. He called 12. And when there was a falling away, someone took his place. Then 70. The murmuring women. All those who ministered to the Lord and the disciples. And they called others. Then they called bishops and priests and deacons. And laity serving the church in so many different capacities and ways. And every day and age. In every time and place. All of these people become part of the community in the Lord. And we are privileged to be in that group. We are privileged to receive that gift of Holy Orthodoxy. And I want to point out something to you that Father Daniel pointed out to me last night. He said in one of the hymns, we say something that we don't often do. And he asked me, he said, do we really believe what we pray? And that's actually the hallmark of Orthodoxy, right? Orthodoxy means right belief and right worship. Worship and belief go together. He said, in the hymns, it says, let us clap our hands and offer grateful praise to God in song. The song part we do, without question. The clapping of our hands, not so much. But it's okay for us, Father Daniel, I think, is telling us, it's okay to really be joyful about our faith, to give thanks to God for everything he's given to us, to clap our hands. So brothers and sisters, on the Sunday of Orthodoxy, when we humble ourselves, when we deny ourselves in true discipleship, when we come together in community, let us rejoice. Let us even, if we will, clap our hands and give glory to God. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to God.